to the Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 18. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. The best people to speak to Black Lives Matter are black people who say, they're going to think we did this, one lady said. They're going to think we did this. She was speaking up. She said, we didn't do this. Who are you? And it was a white guy. And the best person to fight that fight would be those who are black, because they can speak to it and nobody will point the finger and try to gainsay what they're doing. Same thing with the immorality of our day. Where does it come from? Well, men can control themselves to a point, but when all the Moabitish women come in, they're overwhelmed. Avenge. That's what I'm trying to drill into here. Avenging. They're killing your boys. And because they're killing our boys, when the flood comes in, we'll have no army. General Boykin has written a book about manhood, and he says that right now they can't even find young men who have the bone capacity to serve on the levels of SEALs and Rangers and stuff, because they're playing video games all day. And because they've been creating a thinner body frame, because they don't jump out of trees and catch themselves or hit each other and wrestle like they once did. Avenger. The babies are being aborted because of abortion. Again, that's avenger. I need somebody to avenge me. Why are the babies being aborted? Because immorality is rampant. Why is immorality rampant? Because an adversary has learned that immorality can destroy us. Men ought always to pray. That's what I'm saying. You see, you can't even fortify yourself if you're not praying. If you're a guy, you need to be praying. It was Job who said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes that I should not look upon a maid. For what profit is there from above? Jesus said, you've heard it said, don't commit adultery. I say, don't lust. For if you lust, you committed adultery. He's not talking about adultery against your wife. He's talking about adultery against him. You love the female more than you love God. You love the female more. This is why he says in James, you adulterers and adulteresses. He wasn't talking about adultery to their mates. He was saying, you've left me. You've championed your own thing. I'm telling you guys, this is part of repentance. The ladies need to repent. The men need to repent. We all got a problem down here. It's called assault and battery. You talk about sexual assault, that goes both ways. That goes both ways. And we need to get back to shaming one another. In the right sense. Ladies to ladies, men to boys. We need to tell them, wake up. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. That's where it starts. And that's where we don't want to go. But she keeps coming back. Judge, please, please. She says, yet, because this woman troubleth me, I will avenge her. I will avenge her. Lest by her continual coming, she weary me. And the Lord said, and shall not God avenge his own elect when they cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Bear long is the word we often translate long suffering toward us. Do you know God puts up with us? Do you ever think about that? We like to revel in the fact that he's long suffering, but we hate to think about why he's long suffering. And yet, part of the long suffering is because we're not praying. That's probably very grieving to him. You have the resources of the entire universe at your disposal. And as a result of that, not even accessing it. Why? Because prosperity makes us not feel needy like a widow. We feel like, well, we got all our props. Husband's in place. Life's good. I don't need to trouble myself. No, what I say to you is, he says, shall not God avenge his own elect? And avenging means praying against the evil that this way comes right now in our country. Because it's going to mean death. It has already meant death. The path has already been seen. We've seen it in the streets in the past year, where the riots have been and people killing each other, point blank, shooting cops. That is unconscionable, and yet it's happening because of what we allowed to start happening back when we kicked God out of schools, we devalued prayer in schools. And, you know, people talk, take the Ten Commandments down. Do you have the Ten Commandments at home? Do you pray at home? All those things. We can't say anything about them. We're the church if we don't do those things in our own house. But if we do them, then it's an avenger. We need to get our ground back. I remember our local judge, DeWeese, who had the Ten Commandments. And he fought a battle and he tried to keep them in there. But at length, he had to take them down. When a Burger Bill was passed and marriage between same-sex individuals became the law of the land, many of the best judges said, hey, listen, I have a conscience about this spiritually and religiously. We want to know if we can opt out of overseeing of these kind of marriages. And they were told, no, if you do not do it, you have to see yourself to the door. Understand, that means you're best among us. We're just shown the door. How bad is it going to get? Well, thankfully, tomorrow they will probably be installing Amy Coney Barrett, who at least is a constitutionalist, and hopefully can stop some of the nonsense we pretty much can anticipate seeing over the election results. But even that's just the mercy of God. Mercy, why? Because God is not willing that any should perish. He is long-suffering. Why shouldn't He just wipe us out? Because there's somebody you know or I know who could be brought to faith in Christ. No, He says, shall He not avenge them who cry out to Him day and night? You pray day and night. When you're in bed at night, and even in your dreams, do you have that relationship with Him? I do. I'm like, God, you know, Lord Jesus. I had a dream about a week ago, and it was like I was getting ready to be beat up really bad by terrible thugs. and I just closed my eyes expecting it to come. I said, Lord Jesus, just hold me. And I looked up, and it was over. In my dream, that was all my dream. Now, I don't always remember my dreams, but I'm telling you, you have to have a relationship with Jesus that at least lets you know He will give you what you need. When it's nothing else going to be helping you, you need to know you can call on Him. And He will rout the enemy, if you will. I love that. See it all over in the Bible, right? Jehoshaphat's out in the battle. Ahab's hiding in a disguise. But there's Jehoshaphat, you know, flying his kingly colors. Fight only with the king of Israel, it was said to the soldiers. And when he saw that they were coming after him, he's screaming, Lord, help! And they were routed and did not come. I say to you, the weird thing about what I'm telling you right now is that the end of this parable is not what you would expect it to be. Verse 8 says, I tell you that He will speedily avenge, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He even find faith on the earth? People aren't praying. And it's not faith, it's the faith. In the original, the article is there. The body of truth, the true faith. We are so accommodating, and it's a problem in our world, in America. You know, the flaw, the fatal flaw that Ben Franklin perhaps had a whisper of an idea about when he says they gave you a republic if you can keep it. You see, pluralism is an idea. And when it was installed, you know, everybody was in church and God-fearing, at least God-fearing. But what ends up happening is, as time went on, deference began to become a problem. Men are deferential to women, therefore, it got exploited. This society became deferential to the black community because we were all for their success. We are. We went nose to nose and fought the battles on the Civil War, and more people were lost in that war up until recent years than had been in all the wars that we had had since that time. And what I'm saying is that we wanted them to succeed. Therefore, we made laws and we provided. Many people who had slaves that wanted to be slaves after they were set free turned right around and went to work for their previous quote-unquote masters because there was such a love among them and a harmony. Now, that was not always the case. Obviously, it was a sin. It was a blight. It was wrong the way it was done. It was not slavery as biblical slavery was, like indentured servitude or maybe conquest through war. It was kidnapping. So we understood that. That's why there was blood guiltiness, and that's why there was a purging of the blood during the Civil War. God took care of that. Then deference came out of the people, and deference has given way to a falling in on itself. It's, I look at it like it's a wave going over, and when the wave crests, it falls in. We've been pushing the success, and it's been good, and for many, that's been very, very well received. But for some, there's a nerve there, and the devil loves to play on a nerve. And therefore, we have a lot of problems in our society today with racism. And who knows, I might even get in trouble for saying what I say here. But I'm just telling you what I believe the Word of God says. There was blood guiltiness. He purged the blood. Let Him be the one who takes care of your issues, as I have to let Him take care of mine. that I can pray and he can avenge. And if you were a black person during the times of the Civil War prior to it, he avenged you. He avenged you if you prayed. Those wonderful black spirituals, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, right? And now we got to the place where it's like, you know, you need to give us everything. You need to just leave. You need to just flog yourself. You need to hate yourself. No, no, no. We're all sinners. We're all in the mud puddle. Let's just look to Jesus and see how he can figure things out for us. Let him take care of it. The Bible says, who are you to judge a man's servant before his own master? He will stand or fall. And God can take care of stuff that we can't. So he says, will I even find the faith? Why? Because the faith is now becoming social justice. And that's a problem because many churches have left the building. They're not really doing church anymore. They're doing social justice and stuff. They're not witnessing and sharing and winning. They're more about building a house and going on what they call mission trip, but really what they are is they're going out on a mission field with no word, just work, and feeling good about themselves. But there's no witness, because witness means you have to, well, you have to behave yourself. Think about that. Part of what makes sanctification work is that you want to bring somebody to Christ and be a good example of what that looks like. Just like when you have children, you clean up your language a little bit just because the children are there. Do you have a baby in the Lord? Are you there Wednesday? Are you there? And when they show up, well, I was expecting them to be here. I've had that happen many times. Somebody brought somebody to church, that person came to the Lord, and then it's like, oh, okay, I see how it is. That's basically what's felt, because they don't come back. Because their friend wasn't there. The enthusiasm wasn't there. Will I find the faith? What was the faith? Go back in the book of Acts, man. Those people were preaching when they were told to stand down, you know? They were talking when they were told not to. Let's move on. Verse 9 says, he said unto a certain who trusted in themselves and despised others, two men went up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a publican. Now, if you remember, way back in chapter 15, it says they despised the publicans and the sinners who were coming to lean in and hear Jesus. A lot has been said about those guys up to this point. Jesus has picked up that thread. And now he's dealing with that publican and Pharisee thing again. He said, the Pharisee said, God, I thank you, I'm not like these people. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like this publican over here. Man, how do you even tolerate him, Lord? Tusk, tusk. What? What? Really? Really? In church even, you know, he's in the temple. The Bible says, when I fast twice in a week and I tithe all that I possess, I go to church. I'm a good church person. He says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven. Do you realize that that's where we pretty much get our bowed head thing? Bow your head. Many times people say, why do you bow your head? And then you got all these people who have got their hands up and their eyes faced up. That's fine if you're really right with God. If you're not, you're just being a little insolent. Okay? If your account's not current, maybe your head down might be a good thing. Lord, I'm sorry. Here I am again. That's good, because you do get your foot in a trap routinely. If you're like me, I mean, I just have to constantly say, Lord, I need to rein myself in. I've been bumped. You say, well, you're the pastor. Yeah, well, Paul got nose to nose with Barnabas. They broke company. So sharp was the contention between them. Life happens. I can't even imagine him being a tent maker. Somebody trying to rip him off. No, 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 no. Hey, you didn't pay for that. He had to support himself. Justice is justice. I'm saying to you that real people have real issues. Paul said, I am a wretch, and he was the best among us in many ways. And we think we've got it going on. And so in our day, it's all face to the heavens as if we've got it going on. If we had it going on, we'd have more souls in our train, in our wake. How many souls do we have in our wake? That's a good barometer. Well, I can name one person that came to Jesus because of me. That's good. Now what? Well, that happened how long ago? When? What? Listen. We're supposed to have the Spirit of God all over us, enough to where when we go out, maybe, just maybe, somebody will see a difference in us. And sometimes people are in our wake. We don't even know we're there because, you know, we were a witness and our testimony made an impact and somebody else came along, one planted, one watered, and God gave the increase. But I'm saying to you that we need to be people who are mindful of this. In this is your Father glorified, in that you go out and bear fruit. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.